What the fuck? Let's try this again. It wasn't loud enough. Okay, ready? On September 4th, 2020, in the midst of a 100-year pandemic, three ne'er-do-wells formed an alliance and started a podcast about art and cooking and random thoughts. Although there were millions of podcasts out there, they pushed on and created a halfway decent content. It is now 1 year and 3,000 plays later, and the pod is still going in a shed by the shores of Lake Maspinock. I'm Matt Carl.
I'm Normal Andy.
I'm producer Chris.
And this is, crack a beer. Okay. Sweet. This is a 1 year anniversary special. Chris flew out on a Learjet here. Right, Chris?
No, I actually went all the way around the earth and came back. I was third in the orbital flight contest.
Oh, nice. Sweet.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so we have no guests. This is like a...
Yeah, Chris is in the shed.
I am in the actual shed, which I did not realize had tin foil ceilings, like a tin foil hat, to protect people from alien rays and CIA mind-reading rays.
For real, it does have tin foil.
It does.
I mean, we just don't want the weird rays coming in, you know? Like, what's his name? Can't get us. Alex Jones cannot beam into our heads.
Yeah. No, or the reptilians.
I was just watching something. What was it? Oh, Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And his brother. Like, does the inside of the house, but it's, like, wallpapered up. It's really...
Right.
This is almost that.
Can you guess what the thing is? I saw something floating in my beer. Oh, there. I just want to make sure it's not...
It's your finger.
Yeah.
It looks like a stick. It's a stick of some kind. All right, perfect.
Flavor stick.
Oh, yeah. So, can you guess what the tinfoil's for?
Insulation?
I thought he just did.
Yeah, it's reflective insulation. And it's in the walls, too.
Does it? I mean,
It goes behind the drywall. So, you are encased in a tinfoil
hat. It's special. It goes behind the drywall. It's a special tinfoil that's reflective and... I mean, it doesn't work as good as insulation.
Oh, so this is supposed to be keeping the crazy rays and mind reading stuff in the shed instead of so you can't reach out to the world.
Exactly, it's protecting the world from Carl.
But it also protects from other rays.
What you need to know, listener, is that you're getting a pure, uncut art shed,
unplanned, unrehearsed.
Yeah,
we are just here.
Although I did editing before the show.
Yeah, Carl did do some research, and we have clips
he edited
from other
the show
episodes.
Before the show, so it's this weird, what's that, Lieutenant type of deal, where he's...
So, okay, wait, you guys keep talking, I gotta find something on my phone.
All right. That's a great way to get people to keep talking.
To go, oh, keep talking.
I'm not saying anything. There's something on my phone that I need.
Chris, does Lake Maspinock live up to all your visions, even though you've been out here before?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, it's actually weird growing up in New England and then moving to another part of the country. Every time I come back, it's kind of like, oh, right.
Yeah.
It just sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Do other parts of the country not make sense?
Other parts I kind of look at and I'm like, what's the deal with and trying to figure stuff out?
What's the deal?
Well, it took me a while, like in Tucson, to understand the landscape around there, the mountains and everything.
That's what I wanted.
And why they had measuring things. So they have like underpasses for where major roads intersect or to go under a railroad.
Right.
And they all have measuring sticks on the side, which is to tell you how deep the water is.
Oh, wow.
But you're in Tucson, so that only happens during monsoon season. So you're there and you're like, okay, I'm in the desert and this is to save me from being flooded out.
Right.
And it's, but yeah, it is. So.
Sweet. So this is about, memories because of the whole, we're going to try to go through at least the early part, because I didn't, I was too lazy to get more edits from the later parts. So we're going to go
through. This is a clip show, Carl?
Maybe.
It's a memory show.
No, it's a clip. No, it's the anniversary special. So it is a kind of a clip show, but it is new right now. I mean, this is totally new. All right, so I guess we're going to remember back.
All right.
That was just my brain memorying.
Memoring back.
I was looking around trying to figure out where the harpist was the entire
time. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, what the fuck?
Hanging out with the guy at the horn.
Ah, shit. Maybe I think it's going to go through
maybe
all
the
recording
with
now.
All the dead people.
Okay. All right, so the first one, I think, is... Oh, wait. You guys, look at the board here.
The very first.
It says very first.
Very first? What does that mean?
Right.
It does say very first. Okay, so imagine. Hey, this is Mad Carl.
Hey. Oh, are we starting?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. This is Normal Andy.
Normal Andy. Hey. And this is our new podcast. It's called Welcome to the Art Shed, where we drink beer.
Oh, that's good.
And we talk about art, talk about what inspires us. Right, Andy?
Right,
And here is some intro music, guitar work by Andy Santospago, the famous crazy man. I'm just going to pour my beer while this jam happens.
Wow, so our quaint beginnings, Carl.
Yeah.
That's it.
This is like Lake Wobegon type crap.
I know.
Yeah. So that was like the very...
Back when we were on NPR.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the very first recording that we put up.
Yeah.
And Chris was supposed to be like sitting in the blue room.
Yeah, this is before producer Chris.
You were... Oh, no.
I was doing the same exact thing, but I was supposed to pretend to be other people.
Yeah. But you pretended in the same tone as your voice.
Yeah, I never signed up to be an actor. I didn't promise to come on and do impersonations.
And then we were stuck, and we're like, what do we do with Chris? So we just called him Producer Chris from then on.
Yeah.
Because there's always like a host and another host and then a producer, right? They call up and ask questions, at least some of the podcast. Yeah.
And I help with the technical setup too.
Hell yeah.
For sure.
So,
all right. Are we ready for another clip, or do we want to do something different? Like, this isn't a clip.
Yeah. Oh, he's bring out your date! Comes around the neighborhood every week.
Bring out your date!
I think his name is Monty.
Monty. Well, what does that mean, Carl?
It's now time for...
Plague Facts?
What?
Plague Facts.
Plague Facts.
Okay, I have something. This is going to be a unique one. I'm going to put this up for a vote.
Okay.
Why don't we change Plague Facts? We've always been like the bubonic plague.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a huge thing. At this point, now with Delta variant and with variations and a return of it, and we're way over, we're coming up on 2 years.
Yeah.
No, 1 year of Art Shed.
Or 1 year of Art Shed, right.
One and a half years of plague.
At this point, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. 1.5 years of plague. So should Plague Facts now be about the current
plague?
I think it could be about any plague. Possible plague. We could just go on any plague that ever happened. So if you find a different plague, it can be the current plague. Like if we encompass more stuff, we'll have more material.
Yeah.
You know, any type of plague.
Okay.
And if you want to put a variant on that, you can.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with our current plague.
All right.
And my plague fact for the current plague is do not eat animal dewormers. Do not take animal deworming medication.
That's stuff that a lot of people who own horses won't even give their horses because it's really bad for them.
Other podcasters disagree.
Well, you're talking about Joe Rogan, our yeah. prime rival.
I just don't get it. I won't be vaccinated, but give me this veterinary medicine and I'll gulp it right down.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I challenge. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, Joe Rogan. You're going to give a shit. Why don't you come on our podcast and we'll have a little debate with you about freaking Delta variant and animal.
Well, his thing is he's taking everything, right? Except, yeah. And he might even be vaccinated. I don't know.
I doubt it. I think he said he wasn't on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
All right. So that was a plague fact from the current plague. And
controversial plague fact.
From this very moment in time, actually. So this is a good marker. Because this is actually...
Right, this happened this week.
We actually try not to talk about current events because we never know when these things are going to fucking...
Right.
Like, oh...
You already mentioned September 4th, though.
Yeah, so it is September. So our first show aired on September 4th.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure we might have shot it. It might have been aired the next day. We might have shot it on.
Yeah, people don't know, don't realize this, but the first show was completely shot on film, and then
35 millimeter.
Yeah, and then transferred to digital sound.
Thank you, Panavision.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we're going to do another memory.
Okay.
So when this starts talking, let's see.
I'm going to turn those memories sound up.
I don't know.
I think it's the type of thing where it's kind of like your parents get home and they're like, why didn't you mow the lawn? And you're just like, well, I don't know. I had other stuff to do. You know, so it's like we're frantically digging this gigantic pit, but like we couldn't do anything else around the house or anything useful. Nothing
useful. We were obsessed with the pit, but where it went bad was we hit a rock, okay? And we're like, we'll just dig around the rock. So we dug around the rock, and the rock just kept getting bigger and bigger. This rock must have been deposited by a glacier. Because
we kept digging and digging,
and we never got around the rock. And the pit got deeper and deeper and deeper. It was basically like everything I've ever done, you know, like it. That's it.
Wow. So do you want to give the fans some context?
Yeah. That was when our show first went off the rails.
Yeah.
When we had a guest and we just
We started to hit our stride.
Yeah.
Stories of pits.
And the pit just went on. That one went on. That was like a 79 Jerry Jam. You know, just noodled along.
We actually had some discussions about whether it would make sense for all of us to, my parents no longer live in that house, but we could walk into the backyard and just record it from the actual pit,
right.
Which is all filled in with leaves. We actually could film that. Even before my parents sold the house, it had filled in with leaves.
Right.
And it had tons of chipmunks in the holes in there.
Right. It made a really great nesting area for chipmunks.
Right.
Yeah.
So we are helping society.
Yeah.
In the line. I mean,
Chipmunk Society.
Chipmunk. Yeah. Chipmunk Society. So
another reason for the aluminum shielding around this place.
Yes, the chipmunks.
Keep the chipmunks out.
So the clips. Definitely. I wanted to do more with the clips. So I mean, I guess that was a good clip, right?
I thought it was a good clip. And I liked it. That was, you know, it wasn't just telling the story. You then made it very philosophical, Carl.
Yeah.
By, you know, saying like, that's my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. It was basically, you know, how they say like things happen and then they just keep rehappening until you get smart enough to, it's like reincarnation or something like that. And until you get smart enough to like,
not dig the pit,
not do the pit and hit the rock.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, this is like a Sisyphus life that we probably will. I mean, I don't know. Getting obsessed with weird projects. I mean, I don't know. Have you guys done it before? Or is that like a cycle in your life ever since the pit?
Yeah. I mean, I was too young to help dig the pit. But yeah, I think that's something everyone bites off more than they can chew and gets deep and like digs their own hole.
No, the pit is more like it was a project.
Yeah.
So it was a good thing. And we were psyched and then we ran out of steam and then we made it into something else.
Right.
Well, that's what that's my takeaway from it, really, was how it was not what we intended it to be.
Yeah.
Right.
But it ended up being this great thing in this great place that we hung out at all the time. And we didn't expect to have a big hole in the ground with a giant boulder in the center.
Right.
But we expected to have a pit that people would fall into and die.
Yeah,
that was our plan, was to make a pit and cover it with leaves and then people would fall in.
As a trap. We were going to cover it with leaves.
Instead, you got a good place to light things on fire.
To light things on fire,
Yeah, exactly.
And it was pretty safe. I mean, it was almost like, you know, in some ways like a firing range or something. Because it was all, we cleared all the leaves around from digging out the holes. We had a nice rock that was never going to catch fire that we could light up. We could pour all sorts of flammable things on that and light it up.
Yeah, so, totally.
It really,
And this was when our, I mean, and the pit also represents when we, when the podcast changed and we went off the fucking rails for the way the podcast was. Well, really, it was when we, I mean, we had Spago and he's a musician and it was really cool. I was going to play one of his songs on here, which was, but I was it was really cool. But so we had Spago on the second show. It was the third show, Matt, what we call
right.
Matthias von Smedrick.
Matthias von Smedrick.
And we've had him back recently.
Yeah. So he did. So, yeah. Yes. And, okay. So speaking of Matthias, this is something, a story he told. Or do we want to? So this is another story.
Yeah, give it a little intro, Carl.
Okay. Do you want to give it an intro?
No, I don't know. Okay.
Okay. So
put these clips together.
He's a linguist. Yeah. I guess he's not a linguist. I called him a linguist, and he didn't.
Cognitive scientist.
Yeah, he's a cognitive scientist, and I called him a linguist and insulted him, like, so you know, but whatever, shit happens. But he specializes in language, like cognition of languages. But anyway, there's a language that people made up in the 50s called Esperanto.
It might have been even earlier.
Yeah.
But it probably caught on in the 50s.
Yeah. And it seems like the sort of thing that would be like post-World War II.
Yeah.
Let's make the world a better place and United Nations type thing.
Yeah. It's like, it was exactly.
Like the United Nations may still publish things in Esperanto.
Right.
Like if you called up the UN and said, I want your annual report in Esperanto, they probably wouldn't blink.
And it was.
But that's about the only place in the world that you could call up.
And it was also like one of the. They said it was the easiest language that made the most sense to learn if you're learning a language.
Right.
But it was invented in 1887.
Oh, 1887.
By a Polish occultist.
Ooh.
Those guys did a lot. Actually,
L.L. Zamenhof.
In the 1800s, they did a lot of cool, smart stuff.
But I feel like it caught on later.
Yeah, maybe the guy who wanted to break out the Esperanto was like, hey, I don't want to reinvent the wheel here. Somebody already invented Esperanto. But the guy who pushed it out as a... I don't know.
I agree, though, when Andrew said, like, I think of it as a 60s thing.
Yeah.
That's when people were speaking it. Like, I think Star Trek probably dodged a bullet by not saying that everyone spoke Esperanto in the future. Like, that seems like the mistake they would have made. Which is
they didn't make bold claims. They were just like, no, we've just eliminated currency and poverty.
Well, No, but speaking of...
They didn't say everyone speaks Esperanto.
Speaking of paranoid and tinfoil, like New World Order.
Yeah.
So that's what all the Alex Jones people hate. They don't want global government, right?
Federation of planets.
I mean, literally, Star Trek is Alex Jones's worst nightmare. It's complete communism, if you think of it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a new world order where the entire Earth is basically ruled by one government. They never really get into the government, but you'd think the government of Star Trek. I mean, the military seems pretty mellow. I mean, they're in the Navy, right? Or what are they in?
No, they're in Starfleet. So they are...
So they're like the Navy.
It's like an exploration military or something.
Right.
Right.
But, I mean, really, their hierarchy isn't really... It's more like an office hierarchy than a military hierarchy. They're not, like, freaking saluting each other.
Right. Well, I think they're, like, a set... A fleet of starships.
Yeah.
Starfleet. Right. But after I say that, like a fleet of starships. But it's a fleet of starships, and then the ruling government coalition, the Federation of Planets, basically all the representatives from that decide how they're going to use it. So if they have to go after the Romulans, they have to go after the Romulans or defend us against whatever. But then they keep them in commission and still operative, even if there isn't a conflict. So they send them to explore and do different
things. Right. But I mean, but it
seemed like they went to a lot of conferences on Next Generation.
Right.
That's what they did. They shuttled people from conference to conference when there wasn't a conflict.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I mean, I was talking about the military hierarchy does not seem super harsh. Like, they seem like consulting each other, and you know, nobody's barking orders.
Old men and women in pajamas. Is that what
they seem like? What?
Old men and women in pajamas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were like, yeah, righto, or maybe they, you know, and they're like Ricard smoking a pipe.
It depends on the episode.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes
I feel like it kind of like served whatever purpose it needed to.
Kirk was more militaristic. Yeah.
And later on in like Deep Space Nine, it kind of got darker. Like the government was really flawed.
Right. Yeah.
But I think. But then the government seems like they were pretty okay. I mean, they really didn't do anything like super harsh or like his or like. Like, you didn't hear about different presidents coming up and all of a sudden their orders changing and, you know, their mission changing into something more douchey or something like that.
Right.
So no, but there was a lot of, like, dishonesty. I think, Deep Space Nine really got into that.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like an interplanetary conflict where you're dealing with a refugee situation and you're dealing with conflict and there was religious issues brought into it. And it definitely seemed to have a lot of parallels with Mideast.
Right.
So I mean, basically, the Alex Joneses. So, I mean, Star Trek is the only science fiction that's really more like a hopeful instead of a, like, science fiction that's dark, you know?
Well, it's true. I mean, I think of it.
Well, when Gene Roddenberry was still alive, it was more focused on what humanity could be and could become.
Right.
And
right.
And new world order.
I think after he passed away, it started getting darker.
Yeah, I think it got darker, but also always ends on a somewhat positive note, or ends in a hopeful note.
Yeah.
But in some ways, I think of it, though, as it's the opposite of, like, you know, teen apocalypses, post-apocalyptic teenagers in love.
Right.
All the different variations on that.
Wolverines.
Yeah. But I much prefer thinking of something like Star Trek where there's no money in this and that. So even if there is
no money. Yeah, that's the other Alex Jones thing that he would hate.
Oh, no, but I was saying, you know, so even if someone steals, you know, some important computer information and there's a big conflict.
Yeah.
There's still a universe of people where they don't have to worry about how much cash they have in their pocket. Right. They seem to be just like living their lives, doing their thing.
Right. I mean, if you have a, like, something that can make all your food, and what else can it do? Can it make, like,
it can make clothes?
Clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
But they do get into kind of like that actual cooked food, it tastes better than replicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, how many times are you going to just microwave some, you know, some macaroni and cheese over, like, cooking something, you know?
Right.
I mean, most slobs are going to be, I mean, we cook because we're live fire cooks.
But, we like to cook,
Yeah. But, you know, you come home from work and you can replicate literally
anything.
And it's a little better if you're a good chef, but it probably isn't bad, right?
I've never had replicated food.
Why couldn't you?
Exactly.
You're at least going to replicate the the ingredients.
Yeah, of course.
Wait a second. If you replicate the ingredients, how is that going to taste better than replicated, completed food?
Well, you're preparing it to your taste. And that implies there's a limitation on the selection from the replicator. That you can't go in there and say, okay, I'm going to take a chicken breast and it's going to be marinated for X amount of time.
Why not?
Or brined for this amount of time with maple syrup and this and that and different
things. I mean, so maybe you could take a chicken breast that's been marinated one time and just transport it and then use that information to make a replicated
marinated. Right, exactly.
Oh, that would be great. It'd be like photocopying your meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to make it once realistically. Yeah, in real life,
I like that. Yeah. And of course, the military guys, you know, they're gonna be like, "Fuck that!" You'd think if you're stuck on a thing floating around, you're probably gonna be fucking around with the food. Yeah. I mean, that's like the first thing. That, doesn't the army move on its belly?
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, like, well, I mean, but that was like a quote from the Civil War, because they would like walk around and like wherever they'd go, they'd like slaughter every animal and pick every piece of corn and just eat it.
Yeah,
be pretty sweet.
How did we get started with Star Trek?
So here's the clip.
Okay, this is what I was gonna say is Esperanto is like something that Alex Jones would not like because it's kind of like a language. Like it is definitely like a Star Trek thing. All right, here's the quote about Esperanto from Matus.
So I was just talking smack about Esperanto and how, you know, kids were changing it when they learned it, and it's just this made-up language. But I heard the story that was about how Esperanto could really bridge cultures. There's this linguist I know who is quite a bit older than I am. He was a graduate student. He was going to visit Hungary in the late 50s. So this is like peak Cold War. It's very odd for a Westerner to be visiting. And he's a graduate student. So he takes the cheapest train. You know, he arrives after midnight. And he shows up and he's not exactly sure where he's supposed to go. So he's kind of at the train station wandering around. And a person comes up to him and says, "Are you here for the World Esperanto Conference?"
No way.
Yeah. And he goes, and he responds in Esperanto, "No, I am not, but I am a fluent Esperanto speaker." And it turns out that they did not have a U.S. representative. And so, and he didn't have a place to stay for the night. And they're like, "Well, we'll give you free lodging if you will be the U.S. representative at the Esperanto conference." And so he's like, "Yeah, sure."
That's the Esperanto clip I got.
Kismet
is great. That is
that's a good clip, dude.
Yeah.
It took a lot longer.
There's more than one Esperanto Star Trek connection, though. There's that Shatner. William Shatner started a movie that was in Esperanto.
But let's talk about the clip.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So what's your impression? Do you guys remember it?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite stories. I mean, I've retold that story to other people
since then. I mean, it was like, for me, that was one of the top stories I was going to read. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that is one of the best stories. And that's what, like, they're like, yeah, Matt could really be on the show with us, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a great. And that was before the pit story, I think. Oh, no, that was after the pit story. Because after we told the pit story, Andy, you were like, "What was that thing about Esperanto?" Because he almost didn't. Okay, so I'm listening. When I listen to some of these things, is sometimes I mean, I realize I'm not that good of a host, because sometimes I'll cut somebody up before they say their story and I say something. I drag us to a place. It could be a good place, but sometimes it isn't, you know, like, and then we all forget what the fuck we're talking about. So I'm trying to do better. And when you're editing episodes, you realize that, because I'm going through and I'm trying to make it more listenable to the audience. You know, I think we do, when Chris edits and Mark edits sometimes, and I think when we edit, it just takes out the stuff that nobody really needs to hear. And and even taking out a couple minutes worth of stuff from 10 seconds here, 20 seconds there. I mean, it really makes the thing flow better.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You really can.
But that was the Esperanto story.
So you're saying all this is going to be deleted for that we're saying?
I have no fucking idea. All right. Okay. Want to hear another story, or are we done talking about the Esperanto thing?
Yeah, I think we talked about before we listened
to it.
Ad nauseum.
Okay. No, Star Trek and it. Okay, so now I'm going to remember these clips. Okay. So bowling, I don't know what this is.
Just listen to it.
Okay.
Yeah, so for people who missed last episode, you should probably, there's probably, like, this is like a two-parter. So you got to know what happens in the first episode to understand this episode. I mean, that's probably not true at all.
Or you could actually just listen to this.
You could do it old school style.
Usually we're like a couple beers deep by this part, and we're hitting our stride. Exactly. So this might be the better one.
This is like bowling, your second string of bowling.
Right.
When you've had your two or three beers in and you're starting to get like some spares and strikes on a regular basis.
We're the seventh inning of softball where you're just fucking starting cranking it out of the freaking park.
But it's before, by the end of the episode, it'll be like the third string of bowling where you just, it's all gutters.
Yeah. Just sloppy drunk.
Sloppy drunk.
Yeah. Anyway. It applies to playing pool too. Yeah.
Andy, you said yup at the exact time. Andy just said yup in unison
with
himself from the past.
Yeah. Right.
That was bizarre. Holy crap.
Right. We're going to create some sort of temporal loop with that one.
Yeah. So that's why I clipped that one. Okay. I was wondering, like, I clipped that one, and then when I played it, I'm like, why did I clip this one?
Yeah.
But it's good. I mean, that's part of the art shed philosophy, I feel.
That's a good clip, actually. That explains a lot, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think anybody understands.
Art shed is like the second string in bowling.
Well, it was more like we were kind of drunk and because tell them about the two-part thing.
I don't know. Oh, well, I mean, usually when we do an art shed episode, we usually record two in a row every session. Is that what you want to talk about?
Yeah, and we release them at different times.
Yeah, and so first episode, we're just getting buzzed. And by the second episode, we're definitely a few, at least me and Carl are, you know.
Yeah.
Chris and is pretty even, Steven.
I don't drink it also. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or anymore.
Yeah.
For this next one, I don't know, Andy, if you want to talk about this, but you're buying a house now.
Oh, I am buying a house.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Tiny house. This is my friend Dan Driscoll. He is a friend. I went to school with him. He's a stop motion animator, but he also appeared on an episode of Tiny House Hunters. And we learned from him in this episode that the whole show is completely fake and... I don't know what the clip is, but I assume it might be about, he was on the show and they told him to act obnoxious and wear like a obnoxious shirt. And they like looked at a bunch of houses in the episode and they had already bought their house by the time they recorded this. So they already knew they're going to end up with this house and they had to pretend like they were deciding between these three houses. And one was like a cabin.
All right. Don't give it away.
Right. Yeah.
Andy, pretty good guess on that.
Can you talk a little bit about what they faked and stuff like that and what they made you do?
Yeah, I mean, we had already bought the house, but again, we bought it online, basically. And so it was nice. They paid the filming and everything, that stuff was great. They flew us out from LA, which was a nice vacation. When we saw the house in person for the first time, it was on camera. So we were technically seeing it for the first time. But our realtor had to find two more houses in Corning in that area that were also tiny houses for sale.
Oh, geez.
And so then we had to film, like, I don't know if we want this one. We should look around. And one of the houses, this is what got like me in trouble with internet people, was one of them was a hunting lodge. Like, it just had gravity water and an outhouse and a solar shower.
And they had you pretend to be like, I'm really interested in this.
Why did you get in trouble?
They wanted me to act like this is the one I wanted. They wanted me to want the house that had no heating except for a stove, a big old stove that the kids would die if they touched. And that was the one I wanted.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like you're describing Carl's house.
So you were supposed
exactly.
You were supposed to be.
So that's it really is your house.
And yeah. the guy's like complaining. That was the funny part. He's like talking about how like the internet is yelling at him. And I'm like, well, lucky I don't put my life on that.
You put it in a podcast.
Yeah. And nobody listens to it, so it's not like everybody's yelling at me, you know.
Right. We've got a regular 30 subscribers, I feel like.
Oh, no. We have at least 35 people listen to it regularly. And the other thing is, I kept forgetting to mention, is we have 3,000 plays.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. That's something. I mean, I was going to mention it when we got to 2,000, and then I forgot. And I kept writing down, like, mention it.
No, you can't say anything until you reach 10,000.
Yeah, okay, fine. 10,000. All right,
000. So we're going to cut this out of the episode.
Or I guess maybe 5.
All right.
What? No, because it's I said it in the intro how many plays we had.
Oh, right, yeah.
So here's the other. So we have one more funny clip. I wish I clipped more now because this is really working out good.
We can, for the second year anniversary, we can do another clip show.
I guess we could do another clip show because, I mean, we're not even scratching the surface with good. I mean, we did like a ton of episodes, so we have at least one or two good clips per episode. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
you know, so, yeah, so this is... And this is kind of
Carl, you went above and beyond even putting together 5 clips.
Yeah.
So I'm impressed.
Oh, thanks. All right. So this one is pretty self-explanatory. It's about karaoke singing.
I only have one karaoke song that I sing. Well, now two. But I actually was working on a photo shoot in Dover, Delaware, and staying at a Holiday Inn. And after this long day of work, I decided to just go get drunk by myself at the bar of the Holiday Inn. And they were doing karaoke. Uh-huh. And I got drunk and I got up there by myself and I made it to the finals of that night, which was like, and I was like, oh, crap. And but the song is, this is my key. I go out and, or at that point, I could actually still do it at the bar. I chain smoke 3 or 4 cigarettes and then you go with Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap by AC/DC.
So there you go, folks. That's advice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you're caught in a karaoke quandary.
Karaoke off. If you're having a karaoke battle and you need to win.
Yeah. And also on that episode was our brother Phil.
And did you notice what was going on in the background?
Oh, yeah. And then there's weird audio experiments by
Ed. Ed Guild.
Oh, yeah. Ed Guild. Yeah.
And that was our first, like, and then he ended up having him on the show. He ended up
helping create the Mad Carl Stomp.
He made the Mad Carl Stomp, which, I mean, everybody comments on how awesome it is. Yeah. And because Spiegel plays some pretty damn good guitar on it, too.
Yeah.
Part of it all came out of, in terms of the episode with the background music, that was something Carl wanted from the beginning.
Correct? That was an experiment.
But you were really like, you wanted to have soundtracks for the entire podcast.
That was our experiment.
Ed, like, even talked about like, oh, I could just be on every episode doing weird noises.
Yeah.
Yeah, we almost got him to do it. I don't think he would have been able to do it because he has like a life. But
well, it took him a lot longer to do.
One thing, no, I mean, I realized like
we, it's
no. It's for doing something. No. He did one really good experimental podcast with Phil talking. I had Phil's thing to Prague, and in fact, I should clip more of that because it was crazy. But during the whole thing, he live jammed on it. And actually, that was like a huge, like electronic music. That was a huge learning experience because we didn't know that Zencastr like does this weird thing where it cuts out background noise. So it kind of screwed up his whole soundtrack. So he had to.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so it just assumed his soundtrack was background noise. Right. So it dims it or blocks it somehow. He had to redo everything or redo a lot of it. So it was super experimental.
Right. Like they probably can't hear the sirens and gunshots going on outside your cabin right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
No. Not at all.
All those Harleys that just drove by. Yeah.
Nice. But you can hear...
Well, that guy's in the shed.
I mean, yeah. That's like wandering in the shed.
Bring out Jadeen! Bring out Jadeen!
So, yeah, I mean... Oh, we can talk about the bring out your dead thing. So I was doing these... for some reason, when I first thought of this plague facts, because we're in a plague, let's do facts about a plague. Who knows? Because I was really into like reading this book on the Black Death. It was like a huge book. And then Chris did the same thing. So.
No. Okay. So to be totally honest, it is a book about the plague. And Carl listened to it driving into work all the time.
Yeah. Audiobook.
And I watched the author of the book basically do it as a class on...
On like the great courses.
Yes, on great courses. Yeah.
Yeah, she was really... So
neither of us actually read the book, but we both knew it. And we were both repeating facts back and forth to each other, not on the podcast, just in real life, because that's what's like when we get on the phone, we start...
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we realized it was kind of like the same... book
two different formats.
Yeah,
that was funny. We didn't even know we were talking about the same book, because he would say a fact and I'd be like, yeah, but you know about this, then Chris would be like, yeah, that happened during the, you know, the fifth plague, and like, so we were like battling back and forth with facts about the plague, and like we were and like we must have been like, what the fuck, how does he know that shit?
Yeah,
exactly. And then we both realized we were like reading with quotes.
Right, exactly.
The same book.
the current version of the term reading.
Right.
Yeah, right.
It's, obtaining information from the same source.
Yeah, right, right. So we were really into the plague, and of course we're into Dungeons and Dragons and
we're medieval into times.
What?
Yeah.
And we're in a plague.
Yeah, and we're in a plague. So that's why I can't say we're in a plague except like that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was, I gotta remember. Oh, one of my favorite plague facts I remember is I just saw it from like a random quote on Facebook. So it wasn't even from the thing. It was called Quarantina, which means 40 in a, Quarenta. 40 means 40 in Italian, and so you had to like have a ship floating off the shore for 40 days before you could go to Italy because of the plague, you know.
Right.
And so I thought that was a really cool origin of quarantine.
Mm-hmm. And that actually started in Dubrovnik, was the first city that did it. Was actually Italian at that time, because it was a genuine trading port.
Oh, right.
So, which was exactly what, like, from reading the same book.
It's, yeah.
Whatever, reading, air quotes here. But, yeah, so.
So, yeah, we loved the plague thing. I thought that was pretty good. Oh, what I was getting at is, I had this annoying, like, flugelhorn sound, because I was thinking Middle Ages and like, what was the most generic, cheesy Middle Ages thing? It'd be like the horn. Burr, 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 burr. And then we did a couple of plague facts and everybody was annoyed by the flugelhorn. And then Chris was like, why don't we do the Monty Python, Bring Out Your Dead? And it was like, it just hit us in the face. Like, oh my God, I can't believe we weren't doing that this whole time.
Yeah.
So that was one improvement. Yeah, we got there. It was obvious. We slept on it and dreamt about it. Well, what the fuck are we doing? You know. All right, guys, I have another.
Is this the secret clip, Carl?
Secret clip. You guys ready? This I'm not gonna introduce it. We can just talk about it after. Okay.
The drum brain, as we called it, would produce sound. So you hit the snare drum and a snare would sound, and it could be a realistic snare sound, or it could be some weird out of this world sound.
Guys, for Where'd you go? Where'd they go?
Lost in the podcast.
Hello? Hey, anybody there?
I think we stopped existing for a second.
I was in a vortex.
My mind is, it's turned inside out.
That's what it's like.
I'm unmade.
That's what it's like when the Matrix reboots.
So, yeah, that was an error that turned into something good that I really like. That's one of my favorite moments. Clips. Yeah,
That was all Ed Gile, though, right?
That was, I think that was all of us kind of, well, we had a lot of problems with the internet at the start of this, and we had to win tonight, so it was, I have no idea. There was a lot of issues, and it just cut out every once in a while. It used to actually, don't you remember our first podcast? Lucky we had, like, we're excited about them, because now we wouldn't probably put up with the shit, you know, like we'd do it like for an hour, like figuring out what the fuck happened. It would crash in the middle.
Yeah.
Like most of them crashed.
Yeah.
In the middle of our podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And this one was Ed Gile. We decided like it totally crashed. And then Ed, we all talked about it and we're like, well, we'll put some funky sound effects and make it really cool. And I think it came out good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's maybe our most heavily produced moment of the show.
Yeah, that short span with Ed was definitely...
Yeah.
Well, early on, Carl really was about sound effects.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it took you a while to learn that you could upload your own sound effects, but you were just going with, like, the stock ones that came with it, like the baseball game and the... Although there's no sad trombone. I'm amazed. We need to get a sad trombone.
We can easily get one.
Yeah.
Or like the Price is Right failure noise.
Right. Yeah.
Wah, 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 wah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like, better than that, but something like
that. So that one was our experimental, one of our experimental podcasts.
Yeah.
It wasn't as experimental as the next one. The Phil one was more experimental. So I guess that's our anniversary show with our clips.
Yeah,
it's pretty sweet. Yeah, so I'm Mad Carl, madcarl.com, Mad Spiral. Carl Rusteiner on Facebook, Instagram.
I am andyrusteiner.com. You can find links to all my stuff there.
And I'm LiveFireCook on Instagram, livefirecook.com. Anywhere you see LiveFireCook, odds are it's a very good instrument.
So crack a beer and get the hell out of the yard shed. Oh, Phil, it's not done yet. It's playing the song.
Thanks to Carl and Chris for helping host the show. Thanks to Ed Gile and Anderson Spiker for the background stuff. Thanks to all our listeners and viewers from around the world. I hope you enjoyed our 1 year anniversary show. Welcome to the Art Shed with Mad Carl, Normal Andy, and Chris. Do I say anything else?
I don't think so.
No,
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done one of these. So.
It has, yeah.
And it's nice to have Chris here in person.
It is nice to meet you.
The patina of the Art Shed.
Hell yeah.
The patina of grind.
Yeah.
Still going?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow, that does go for a while.
It does.
I always listen to the whole thing. Even when I'm listening to this show, I'm like, I always listen to it till the very end of the song.
Yeah.
But I love the song. Yeah. was like, that's fucking awesome. Can I use it for the start? And then he ramped it up and made it a lot better. And then he's like,